you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 40. The book of Exodus, chapter 40, the very last chapter in the book of Exodus, verses 34 through 38. I will talk very fast, and we'll cover this sermon. Are you ready? This year, our emphasis has been to take things to the next level. And we have looked at various areas to try to take things to the next level. One of the things we looked at was physically, to try to be physically fit, going to the next level. I told you as 2,500 accountability partners that I was going to run in a marathon. And so that training is continuing. And in 2 weeks from today, I'll be in Atlanta trying to run a marathon. Okay? So what has happened is that we then put the challenge to our staff, and enthusiastically and excited, they said, we want to run a 5K race. Well, not quite that way, but I encouraged them to do that, and then they said, okay, we'll do that. And so our staff is training, and on the Saturday before Easter, our whole staff's going to be running in a 5K race, you know, 3.1 miles. A lot of the choir jumped into this. I think we got close to 75 choir members or something that said they're going to do it, and other church members have said. And so physically, we're trying to take it to a next level, financially, to take things to a next level. And we've challenged our people in that. And we have over 200 people taking Financial Peace University to get a better handle on how they can manage their finances and to get out of debt and to be able to give to God's causes. And then you as a church this past Sunday made an incredible pledge of, we had our goal on Make Jesus Known of 550,000, and you pledged over 660,000, way beyond that goal. And that's just phenomenal. So you're taking it to the next level. And we talked this year about trying to go to the next level spiritually. How do you go to the next level spiritually? And we've encouraged you to read through the Bible this year and encourage you to turn those quiet times up a notch. But I want to tell you what my hope and my prayer as a pastor. My hope and prayer as a pastor is that we as a church would go to a next level spiritually so that the glory of God fills this place. And that every time we come here to worship, that we sense the glory of God. And if you've got your Bibles open to Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 through 38, you know, the Exodus, the whole book is taking the children of Israel who are in captivity for over 400 years, and then God using Moses to get them out, and they cross the Red Sea, and he goes to Mount Sinai, and God gives them the Ten Commandments, and now they're getting prepared to move on and to make their way to the promised land. And you come to verse 34. And leading up to this, God had given specific instructions for them to build the tabernacle. He told Moses exactly how he wanted to be built. Moses built it. And look what it says in verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Let me talk to you today about when the glory, God's glory, fills the church. This would just be something incredible for us to see this happen in our church. Let me give you some points for us to think about on this. Number one, God's glory will fill dwelling places set up according to His commands. God's glory will fill dwelling places set up according to His commands. When we are obedient to Him, that's when God's glory will begin to fill this place. Now, one very interesting thing, if you went through the book of Exodus, and if you're reading through the Bible, one of the things we did was we went through the book of Exodus this past month. And if you read through there, verses 25, I think it's chapters 25 through 31, God tells Moses specifically what to do. He gives him specific instructions on exactly how to build this tabernacle, how big the curtains are to be, the clasp. I mean, he's got everything. He's got all the stuff that'll be in there, the basin, the table, the Ark of the Covenant. Then he comes up and tells him, this is how the priest's garments are to be made. This is all the way they're supposed to be set apart. And then he even chooses two men. He said, I've got two men specifically chosen to handle this project. And so from 25 through 31, he gives his specific instructions. I mean, as specific as can be. Well, then all of a sudden, when you pick the story up again in chapter 35, then 35 through 40 is like a repeat of those chapters because Moses does everything exactly the way God commanded. Now, keep your Bibles open. Chapter 40, look at verse 16. In chapter 40, verse 16, look what it says. This Moses did according to all that the Lord commanded him. So he did. He did all that the Lord commanded him. Now, just stay with me. Let's go right through here. Look at verse 19. If you look at verse 19, and it says at the end of that verse, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 21, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 23, he says, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 35, as the Lord, verse 25, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 27, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 29, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And then you get to verse 32, and it says, as the Lord commanded Moses. Are you getting up kind of a theme going on over here? He did everything as the Lord commanded him. He did everything that God commanded him. And then in verse 33, it says, so Moses finished the work. And verse 34 says, then the cloud covered over the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and it was filled with the glory of the Lord. See, when we are obedient as to what God commands us, then God's glory will fill that dwelling place. Now, let me give you one point before we jump in about him filling our church. And this point is this. The sovereign Lord is in charge of his own front door. The sovereign Lord is in charge of his own front door. If you look in there in verse 35, it was kind of a surprise, right? The glory of the Lord came in, and then what does it say? At the first part of verse 35, it says, and Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting. I mean, Moses, he'd been meeting with God. He got all the instructions, and he built this beautiful tabernacle. And they got this tabernacle built, everything exactly the way he wanted to, and he started to enter it, and he couldn't even enter it because the presence of the Lord was there, and it filled it. You see, God, the sovereign God, is in charge of his own front door. And that is, you can't just walk into the presence of a holy God without an invitation. Now, Moses had been invited in the past when God said, hey, Moses, why don't you come up and we're going to talk. He came up and God met with him on the mountain. In chapter 24, God says, Moses, I want you to come up. We're going to talk. And if you read closely, Moses sat for 6 days on the mountain before God allowed him to come into his presence. And after 6 days, he said, now, Moses, I'm ready for you. Only time Moses came to God's presence is when God gave him that invitation to come into his presence. And the reason is that we are sinful man and he is a holy God. And this is what we lose. We lose so much of the holiness of God. And we take God for granted and we forget about what Scripture teaches about his holiness. And we can't just come sashaying into his presence. And what happened is that there was a holy God, and the people of Israel knew their sin and knew their disobedience to God. They did the golden calf thing. Remember, they made the golden calf, and they came down, and God punished them. And they understood their sin, and they understood his holiness. And there was this thing that divided them. And so they knew that, so then God gave them the law. And when God gave them the law, what that did was that made them more conscious. And they understood more. They said, ugh, these are the things I'm not supposed to do. These are the things I'm doing. And so by the time they got the law, it helped them to have a greater consciousness of their own sin. But I'm still separated from God. I still can't come and meet with God. And so what God did was he leaves Exodus and goes right into Leviticus and he tells him, this is how you can come in and to have fellowship with me. And he talks about the sacrificial system. And that's when he talks about that there has to be the shedding of innocent blood. And that is when he talked about that there will be a life that will be given up, a lamb's life or a goat's life, and they'll be sacrificed, and the blood of that will then cover your sins. And then you can have that opportunity to come into the presence of God. And you see, what happened is when the glory of God filled that tabernacle, then the glory of God began to move and it planted itself in one area, and that was in the Holy of Holies, behind the curtain where the Ark of the Covenant was seated. And there's a mercy seat there, and that's where the glory of God. Now, this is just a way that the invisible God decided to manifest himself. And when this cloud covered over the tabernacle, it's the same cloud that had been with them at the top of Mount Sinai. It was the same cloud that was at the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp where Moses used to go. If you remember in that book of Exodus, Moses would go meet with God, and when he finished meeting with God, his face was so bright that he had to put a veil over his face. And you see, this same cloud came and it covered the tabernacle. And then inside, the glory of God. And it says the glory of God, it was like a fire that was burning. And it says the glory of God filled it. And they couldn't get there. But then when he gave them the sacrificial system, and then he says, now the priests can come in here and they can offer sacrifices for you and allow you to be able to be able to communicate with God. Well, then God did one better, and that's when he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came, he became the ultimate sacrifice. He shed his blood. He became the exalted high priest and the one that can go to the Father. You see, Moses could not walk into the tabernacle when it was filled with God's glory, but Jesus could. And so Jesus comes before the Father. He intercedes for you and for me. And when we want to come to a holy God as sinful men and women and young people, the only way we can come to him is through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. And he, raised from the dead, ascended to heaven, is the one that stands before the Father and gives us that opportunity to fellowship with him. You see, the sovereign Lord is in charge of the front door, okay? Now, he's in charge of the front door as to people that can come to faith in Christ. And you come to a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. But now let me tell you, let's build on this a little bit. Look at the second point. And that is that God's glory will not only fill it, but the church which honors the holiness of God will be filled with the glory of God's presence. The church which honors the holiness of God will be filled with the glory of God's presence. So, Dan, what do you mean? That if we honor God and the holiness of God, then he will fill it with his presence. A couple places in the Old Testament that you saw this. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 through 11. They built a new temple. And when they built the temple, then the priests were going through there. And look what it says in verse 10 and 11. It says, and when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. You know, the glory of the Lord filled the place so much that even the priest could not stand and could not minister because the presence and the power was so strong. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 4, God gave Ezekiel a vision of the second temple. You know, the first temple was destroyed. And when it was time to build the second temple, God gave him this vision and he took him around and showed him different places. And look what it says in 44:4. He says, then he brought me by way of the north gate to the front of the temple, and I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord. And then what did he do? And I fell on my face. The glory of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord, and when I saw that, I didn't say, golly, that's pretty good. When I saw it, I just fell on my face. Fell on my face. Isaiah chapter 6. Passage of where Isaiah comes and has this vision of the Lord. And when he sees the Lord high and lifted up, he says, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. I am ruined. And when he saw the Lord, there was a woe is me. Now that's a W-O-E woe, okay? Not a W-H-O-A kind of whoa, hey, type of thing, all right? If you watched American Idol last week, when the girls were singing and, Randy Jackson was trying to explain how one of them didn't, he said, well, you just didn't have the whoa in the song, you know? There was no whoa in the song. And he couldn't kind of explain, but he said, there's no whoa in the song. And so many times we think it's the whoa. It's the whoa of church. No, it's not the W-H-O-E of church. It's the W-O-E of church. Of where is the woe is me. I am a sinner and I am unclean. And that when we come into a worship service and that we come before a holy God, we should be convicted of our sin We should be convicted of the things that have been wrong in our lives and of the times that we have not given him his due, to where we have not allowed him to be Lord of our lives. And we should come in and say, woe is me. It should be that when we walk through those doors, there should be a conviction. You see, the glory of God will fill a church with his presence when a church honors his holiness. And you see, we honor him in our obedience. And I started thinking about this. I said, how can I put it, how we honor him in our obedience? And so I said, you know what? When we're read up in our Bible, and when we're prayed up in our quiet time, and when we're fed up with what's going up in the world, and we're geared up to make a difference, that's when God's going to show up. And wouldn't it be great if every Sunday when we came, we were read up in our Bible, we've been spending time with the Lord, we were prayed up in our quiet time, and we were fed up with some of the things that were going on in the world, and yet we were geared up to make a difference, and we walk into this building, and all of a sudden God shows up, and the glory of God begins to fill this congregation. Man, that's something. What that means is it really doesn't matter what we have for a prelude. It doesn't matter if Edwina is playing a hymn on the organ or if we've got a praise CD. It doesn't matter that Michael is we're saying, are you responsible to work us up into a lather emotionally and spiritually? Does it matter if I'm supposed to preach the stars down from heaven? No. What's supposed to happen is that you are to come prepared for worship, to where of your obedience and my obedience during the week, then when I show up on a Sunday morning, God's ready to show up also. And so God is going to honor the church that honors his holiness. And Moses, he didn't do anything spectacular, didn't do anything emotional. You know what he did? He was obedient. And it says that God's glory filled his temple. All right? Second point. Look at this. Where God's glory dwells, God guides. Where God's glory dwells, God guides. When we see the glory of God fill this place, and it'll be so evident as to where God guides. Look what he says here in verse 36. He says, throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. You know what that meant? They didn't go anywhere unless the cloud moved. And so it was like they had their own little portable Mount Sinai here. They had the cloud over this tabernacle. And if the cloud began to move, then the people said, time to go. People pack up and they'd start moving. If the cloud decided to stay right there, then the people rested and they said, we'll stay right there. Now, what this reminds us is that God is the one that was in control and God was the one that was leading them. They were to be at his disposal, not he at theirs. One more time. They were to be at God's disposal, not he at theirs. Are you guilty like me, to where I feel like that God should be at my disposal all the time? To where I kind of put him off to the side and I'm running through life and all of a sudden I've got a bump in the road and all of a sudden I come back to him and I say, God, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. He's just like he's standing on guard waiting to see what all I need him for. But you see, they were at God's disposal. They were waiting for his guidance as to where they were going to go. Where the glory of God dwells, the glory of God will guide. And we need to be at his disposal and say, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever he wants me to go, I'll go. And I want to be at your disposal to do the things that you've called me to do. We got to make sure that we're following him, that we don't choose our own way and then we ask God to be with us. We need to follow his leading and not him to follow ours. You see, it wasn't their choice of whether to move or to stay. It was God's choice. Now, you remember I preached a sermon in the summer and I talked a little bit about, at that time, about 9.5 years. And I said, you know, there were some rough times in those early times. But you know, and Rick Lance was here. He's our executive director of the state of Alabama for Alabama Baptist. And he would agree with this. Every pastor goes through that, okay? Every pastor goes through times when things get kind of rough. And they say, am I supposed to be here or am I supposed to leave? And I would have some people say, well, how did you choose to stay? My response really is, it really wasn't my choice. If I could put it in the words from today's message, the cloud never moved. It wasn't my choice. God said, there will be days of discomfort, but this is what you're called to do. And see, it's not that I'm in charge of everything. It is that God's in charge of it. If I'm in charge, I'm going to go look for a good, comfortable campsite and say, we're going to camp right here. And then when things get a little uncomfortable, then I'll say, let's move out of here. That's not my call. It's God's call. And if God wants to lead you to a comfortable place, then that's good. But then there will be a time when the cloud will pick up and God will move you. And he may put you in a situation that's a little bit discomforting. And it may be a time where it's a little difficult. But during that time, God is going to teach you and teach me of how we can depend upon him even more. And you see, for the children of Israel, they could sit there and whine and complain when they ended up, but they were following God. They shouldn't have been whining and complaining. When the cloud moved, they were to move. When the cloud rested, they were to rest. Hey, let me just give you a commercial here for just a moment. Looking at how God moves and what is, April 1st, Sunday night, the PM service, we will be talking about our master plan, the second phase. And we have prayed about this for months, yay, years. And we're in a position now to show you where we believe the next step is. And so it'll be that Sunday night. And we believe this is what God's leading us to do. I encourage all you to be here that night, April 1st, and answer questions that you have. But you see, that's what you do. You pray about things. You work to it. And you say, God, we pray that you will guide us as to what you want us to do. We want that to happen as a church. We want it to happen for you as individuals. And where God's glory dwells, God guides. Let me tell you the very last thing. And that is where God's glory dwells, others will see it. Where God's glory dwells, others will see it. If you look in verse 38, he says, for the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, and in sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. It was in the sight of all Israel throughout all their journeys. You see, where God's glory dwells, others will see it. Now, this talks about the nearness of God. If you follow the cloud in the book of Exodus, you will see that the cloud in Exodus 13, when the people began to leave to make it to the wilderness, they were led by this cloud, way up there, this cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. And then when they got to Mount Sinai, there was that cloud, and it was sitting there on Mount Sinai. And then outside the camp, and if this was the camp, then right outside the camp, there was a little tent of meeting where Moses would meet God and the cloud would come right here, but it was outside the camp. Now what they have done is they have built this tabernacle and they put the tabernacle right smack dab in the middle of the camp. And as they put the tabernacle there, then the cloud of God, the glory of God, settled right there. And by the cloud during the day and the fire at night, every person of all Israel would see that. Because what happened is God came near to them. God wanted to dwell among them. And when God's glory dwells, then others will see it. The true glory of the church is that God's residence is in her midst. And this was Israel's highest distinction. And God says, you will be my people and I will be with you. And the thing that's so exciting about the Christian church is that God is in our midst. And we should pray that our church will be not only dwelt by the Lord, but will be filled with the glory of his presence. So what does that mean? Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, God talks about what Israel will be, which I think you can relate this to the church today. And look at this challenge in Isaiah chapter 60. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. My prayer, my hope for Shades Mountain Baptist Church is that the glory of God will so fill our church that others will be drawn to this place because they are drawn to our God. And that every worship service there is in awe of the holy God that we serve. And that when people walk in, that as soon as they come in, they say, there's something different about this place. Now, I think that we're getting there. There's a couple that told me they're going to join, and when I was talking to them this week, The man said to me, there was something about the Spirit when I came in this place. Now, as a pastor, that's what you love to hear, okay? There's something about the Spirit. See, I want it to be such a way that when people start coming through these doors, that they sense that Spirit and that we sense the holiness of God. And that there's an awe, there's a reverence, it's almost an unexplainable recognition of the holiness of God. And that when you come in on a Sunday morning, there is an expectation that God is going to do something, and we don't really know what it is He's going to do today. But it's going to be something exciting because He's showing up. And I'm showing up prepared for God to do something. It was great this morning. I'm not a real excited guy with the daylight savings time. I kind of like it to be sunny when I'm awake in the morning. this morning, though, you know, we did the daylight savings time. And the way the sun began to come up right over the trees over here, right about over here, when I came driving up, the sun was hitting the windows of the back area of our church. And it looked like there was a fire inside. A good fire, okay? And it was so neat to drive up and see that and to see that that there was just like this orangish hue inside the church and the reflection of the sun. See, that's the way I want people to see this church, is that when they come, there is the glory of God and they can sense that. And that's when we take it to the next level spiritually. But it's not just because of certain sermons that are preached or songs that are sung. It's us as the body of Christ being obedient to what He has called us to do. And when we honor the holiness of God, then the glory of God will fill this place. And people will walk out of this place and they will say, God did some amazing thing. You know, when you come to the end of the book of Exodus, that's not the end of the story. When you come to the end of the book of Exodus, that's just the beginning of many other stories. And so the glory of God is there. And then they say, and wherever He moves, you move. Wherever He rests, you rest. And then all of a sudden, you've got Leviticus, and you've got Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and then Joshua, and Judges, and you begin to see the rest of the story unfold. Folks, I want to tell you this. 10-year anniversary for me, 95-year history of this church, this isn't the end of the road. There are great days ahead. C.S. Lewis, in the Chronicles of Narnia series, he ends his series on the final page of the writing called The Last Battle. And as he writes on the last page, listen to the words that he says. Now at last they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, and which every chapter is better than the one before. Every chapter is better than the one before. This church has had a great 95 years, and I've had a great 10 years as your pastor. But the next chapters will be even better than the ones before if we honor our holy God and His glory fills our church. Let me ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. Father, we are so thankful that we serve a holy God. And Lord, we know that whenever we come and to worship You, that You reveal things to us, and our responsibility is to then respond to that. And I pray, Lord, that we will respond to Your message as You have spoken to our hearts. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.